Hello, this is day 8 of the Money Magic Marathon. And today we are going to be dealing with the theme of being an outsider. And I'm taking the myth, Briar Rose, and there's a character in there which is the 13th wise woman, and she I see as the epitome of the outsider, and she has very powerful anger and revenge against those that have excluded her. And I'll just tell you a little bit the story, and so that you can situate what I'm doing and the context. This is a story of a king and a queen who want to have a child but never had one. And one day when the queen was bathing, a frog jumped out of the water and told her that her wish would be fulfilled and she would have a daughter within a year. And this came true and a baby girl was born, and the king decided to have a great feast, inviting all his relatives and friends and acquaintances and the people of the court. And he also invited the wise women. But he only invited 12 of the 13, as he only had 12 golden plates. And he couldn't possibly invite them all if he didn't have enough golden plates for them. So they held a great feast, and at the end, the wise women who were invited bestowed their magic gifts upon the baby girl. And one gave her virtue, another beauty, a third riches, and so on, with everything in the world that she could possibly wish for. And then when 11 of them had made their promises, suddenly the 13th came in, and angry for not having been invited, she cried with a loud voice, "The king's daughter shall in her 15th year prick herself with a spindle and fall dead." And without saying a word more, she turned around and left the room. They were all shocked, but the 12th wise woman, whose good wish still remained unspoken, came forward, and as she could not undo this evil spell, but only soften it, she said, "It shall not be death, but a deep sleep of 100 years into which the princess shall fall." And so that is the first part of that fairy tale. And of course, you can probably see some parallels with Sleeping Beauty and a number of other fairy tales. So what I found is that I went into this I was really attracted to this character of the 13th wise woman. And I was doing some work with Michelle Talker, who I've talked to you about, who's an amazing person who facilitates people entering into the fairy tales and really exploring their meaning and their depth and finding parallels and things in their lives. So I was, as I said, I was very attracted to this wise woman who doesn't seem like this 13th wise woman, not a very nice character, but I identified with her. And I'm going to, in a little bit, a little bit later, after I've talked a little bit more, I'm going to talk about, or not talk, I'm going to enter the character. And I think with change makers, a lot of them feel like outsiders, and because they're a bit different and they feel often excluded, or even they're even bullied, of course. And so it's a very difficult role, and a lot of creative people fall into being outsiders and feeling like outsiders. And in fact, something that I will be sending out to my email list in a little while, and all of you should hear about, is that a friend of mine has formed an outsider network. She lives in England, but it's going to be an international network, and she's invited me to be a contributor, which I'm delighted to. And she... at any rate, what she sees is often people who are outsiders actually become pioneers and make a real difference in the world if they don't be, if they're not consumed by, of course, their revenge fantasies, or may not, or acting on their revenge fantasies, shall I say. So, I wanted to talk also about the Money Matrix magic spell. For today, which number 8, and I call it the reversed curse, and that's using the power of forgiveness. That's the antidote to revenge, and actually it's very powerful. And revenge, unfortunately, really destroys you too. And I'm always struck by how people react. For example, if somebody who's close to them is murdered, some of them find it within themselves to forgive the person who's murdered their child or husband or wife or whatever, and others are just out for vengeance and for them to go to the, you know, if they're in the States, for them to have capital punishment, you know, go to the electric chair, and get their lives get so consumed by this vengeance, and they become very harsh, judgmental people, whereas the people who allow it to not, it's not that they think it was any, that it was good what happened, but more that they find it in their heart to forgive the person who's done that, and that they can, when they've allowed this process to happen truly, you know, not just on the surface, because there are many layers of it, they can be the most extraordinary people and just radiate love and live extraordinary lives. And so I think there's a real power of forgiveness, is not so much what it does for the other person, but what it does for ourselves. And you can only really forgive somebody truly by releasing the anger and the hurts and the judgments, whether it be against yourself or against them. And there's a really excellent video on the World Tapping Summit, which is an interview with Wayne Dyer on his process of forgiving his father. And I hadn't realized that Wayne Dyer had come from such a difficult background. And he talks about his father, and his father was not a nice man by any any definition. And the whole process he went through to forgive him and how important that was in his development. So I love that video, and I actually would like to see it again. And if some of you have signed up for the Tapping Summit, and I would say just give it, if you haven't seen the video, see it. It's really worth it. And so forgiveness does not mean saying that what the people did was okay, but it means releasing the judgments and, of course, the vengeance fantasies. And, of course, lots of wars are based on, and family conflicts are based on revenge, and it just escalates out of control. One person doing something bad and then somebody doing something worse. And then it just gets into this horrible, horrible cycle. Anyway, I've got a couple of quotes, which I'm just going to read quickly, but some of which are amusing, some of which give you real possibilities for thinking more on this issue. The amusing one is Oscar Wilde, of course, because he's quite the wit, and he says, "Always forgive your enemies. Nothing annoys them so much." Well, that's a little bit of a it's a bit of a laugh, but it's far more powerful to forgive your enemies, that's for sure. And here's another one, which is from Mahatma Gandhi. "The weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is the attribute of the strong," which is interesting because some people think that in order to be strong, you have to judge and you can't forgive. So that's a different take on it. And Martin Luther King, forgiveness, I love this one, and I just discovered it. "Forgiveness is not an occasional act. It is a constant attitude." And that is so profound. And sometimes, or at least for me, I have actually been far more effective at forgiving the big things in my life, which maybe some other people would have a problem forgiving. And perhaps taken a longer time to forgive those who've done petty things against me, you know, in the grand scale of things. So this thing of forgiveness is not an occasional act, it is a constant attitude. It's forgiveness as a practice. Whenever somebody does something that you don't like, being able to constantly forgive and let go, that is such a gift to cultivate. And here's one from Mark Twain. Forgiveness is the fragrance that the violet sheds on the heel that has crushed it. And Oprah Winfrey, true forgiveness is when you can say thank you for that experience. And then I'm kind of overdoing it with the quotes, but I just can't resist today. It seems to be quote day. And here's the final quote, which I think is a really interesting to think about, and is more contemporary of today. People have to forgive. We don't have to like them. We don't have to be friends with them. We don't have to send them hearts in text messages. But we have to forgive them, to overlook, to forget. Because if we don't, we are tying rocks to our feet, too much for our wings to carry. And that's by C. Joy Bell. Great quote, that one. So I am now going to do improvisation of the 13th wise woman as she's just coming into the feast. And just before she does the curse. Okay. So I actually have a written excerpt from some writings that I did, and I was going to read it today, but it mysteriously disappeared. So I have to improvise again, which I'd been kind of waffling from. But probably that's a good thing because it makes it fresh. So here we go with the 13th why of the wise women. Okay. Here I am outside the palace. Outside. Outside. I can't believe it. I was included in the 13th Wise Women. I was part of that group, although I just became a member because I'm the youngest one. And now I have got excluded again. This has not been the first time I've been excluded. I had a life where I was bullied and humiliated because I was too poor. And yet I rose above it and married a beautiful man who saw my gifts and did really, really well. And I have been, and then the wise women saw my gifts and included me in their circle. And now this king has excluded me. He has brought the other wise women to the feast and not me. And why? Because he had only 12 plates, 12 golden plates. And he thought, that's okay. I'm going to exclude one of them because I don't have 12 plates. I mean, is he insane? Like, could he not have got with all his riches gone and bought another plate? Or simply given us other plates? Those of us who are poor don't care whether we have a gold plate or one plate is chipped or one plate has a different design. We bring everybody into the community, into our houses, and celebrate and have fun, even though we barely have anything. And this rich, rich king excluded me because of that. I am feeling really angry. After all, I had this beautiful, beautiful gift here, this beautiful weaving gift, which I was going to give to that girl so she could weave whatever dreams she wanted, not just the other gifts that were given by the other wise women. But this is the weaver of dreams, and that is the greatest gift. Because if you can't dream, it is very difficult to get everything that is possible for you. But I'm not going to give it. I'm not going to give it. In fact, that girl's going to die. I'm going to curse her. I'm going to curse her, and she will die, and then they will know what it's like to feel sorrow and to feel exclusion from being parents. She's going to die. Well, no, I'm going to make it even worse. She's going to be 15, and then she's going to die. She's going to prick her finger on a spindle. And that's it. They are going to suffer. They deserve to suffer. They were given a child by magic, and now they don't even recognize that all the gifts of all the wise women need to be accepted, and that all of us have unique gifts, and we all need to be part of the feast. And if you exclude one, well, you're excluding all in the end. Okay, so that was my latest incarnation of the wise woman. Here we go. I'm going to put it on interactive, and we dealt with a lot yesterday, and so if there are other things, which was on visibility, and so if there's anything left over from yesterday, please bring it, and excuse me, I've got to have some water now. My voice is going, and if anybody just wants to speak, actually, I'm going to put it on Q&A, and you can now press 7, and that will be to be able to talk. Anybody there? Hello. Yes, Katrina.
Did that work? I wasn't sure because I pressed it before and you didn't hear me, but it did.
Oh, I think it was because. Oh, yeah, and maybe that's good for people to know because I had it on the wrong mode or another mode, so maybe that. And there was a moment where I was taking time to press it. So anybody else, if they want to get on, press 7, star 7. Okay, so Katrina.
Well, it's interesting, about a couple of months ago, back in January, I really set a ferocious intention for myself to heal and shift all the money, traumas of my life, because most other areas of my life are pretty happy and go well, except for that one.
Yeah.
And so as a result, like this course, it's interesting, a couple of things have shown up in my life to support my intention, one being this course and another being a course by a man named Derek Rydahl. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but
yes, I have.
He's beyond. So, I mean, in a different, very different way, and really shifting the his whole system is just mind-blowing. It's really core shattering stuff. So last night was one of our calls, and it was interesting, this theme of Cinderella that I really, like I said, I didn't have fairy tales growing up. I wasn't really given a lot of books except for school homework.
Yes. Boring.
Boring stuff. And last night I had an opportunity to receive some coaching from him, and I'm sharing this piece because I think it will be relevant to what we're doing here.
Please.
So, this feeling of forgiveness, like what I shared in the beginning about the woman whose makeup line, I didn't realize, but I mean, if you pay attention to your mind, my mind goes over this stuff a million times, and I think I'm done with it, but I'm not. And like in the spirit of revenge, like even if I'm only entertaining, maybe I want to be the next big thing in beauty just to piss her off,
Okay,
and
good.
So I noticed that part of myself, just
yes.
to outshine her because I'm so pissed.
Right.
So, but last night I was asking him for some tools, for some ways to forgive. Like I see that this could be a major piece holding me back. And he asked me a question, and it triggered me in such a, like, it rerouted my brain. And he goes, "What's the feeling?" And I go, "The feeling is indebtedness. It's not like debt and money. It's this feeling of being indebted." Mm. And when I was adopted as a child, my parents constantly told me, "We paid good money for you. You better do what we tell you."
Oh, God.
You know, or we're going to send you back.
Yes. Oh,
And he named it, and he kind of worked with me, and the floodgate opened, and the tears that came out of me were so deep, and it was all about constantly serving others. And what happens inside of that is there's a pattern of never speaking your needs and feeling too terrified because I'm certain I'll be sent back. Now, was I conscious of this? No, but it was clearly there, deep inside somewhere. So he just loved it, and he showed me how to, what the truth is. And something in me got freed. And interestingly enough, this woman who did the makeup line launched a new mascara, and I've seen it on Facebook. And I wrote her, and I said, "I really want to try your mascara, because it is something I deeply want to try."
Yes.
And so she's like, "Why don't you come over, and I'll just give you some, and I want you to try it." And there was something in me that just completely was free. I had no more ugh around it. I'm like, God bless her. And you know what? It's a high compliment that she's still using all my writings and the names of the products. So something... she can't honor me because she's too, she can't, doesn't have it in her. And, but you know what? I'm so grateful now that that experience happened. And the thank you is real. It's not like going, skipping over something. It's just like, great, now I'm free. And I can just bless your product. And it's a beautiful product, which it is. It's something I deeply respect. And I can move on.
Yeah.
So
wow.
I know that's a lot of story, but I felt maybe I didn't weave it very well, but it feels like it's all weaving together, like all the
things
are sort of...
And, right, wonderful, and just being able to let that go. And it seems like have you let go, the thing about paid good money and...
is there
some other level that you, the whole thing of your... adopted people, parents telling you that they had paid good monies or were going to send you back. Is that something that there's still a little tweak with?
There's still, I can feel that, I can feel how, God, I was just so terrified all the time as a kid. I was just in constant terror. And I realized that the reason I don't, I'm an irresponsible person with money. And that's why I don't have it. And it's not irresponsible because of irresponsibility, but the behaviors that I engage in are set out to completely sabotage having anything because of not feeling that I deserve anything. Now, it's not, I don't pay my bills on time. I'm chronically late. I'm chronically in lack. But what I get about that is it's the rebellious part of me kind of saying, fuck you. I'm going to,
right.
I'm going to stay here, and this is where I'm going to stay. And I'm so ready to let that go, but I'm owning the fact that I've just been irresponsible with money. I haven't managed it well. And
yeah.
I'm going to learn. I'm committed to learning how to do that well and become a master at it, because I know I can.
And I'm sure you will be. And so it feels like, what is the curse that you've put on yourself almost? Fuck it, I'm not going to make money because.
Because then you're going to tell me I owe you.
Okay.
And I don't want you to have a damn fucking thing.
Okay. Wow. So why don't we work on that one? Would that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. And great. And it's so inspiring that that happened around this person who you've had so much anger with. Yeah, that's, and who knows what can happen out of that in terms of just freeing your energy to go forth with whatever products you want to do,
mm-hmm.
if that's what you want to do. And I'm just getting something that maybe it's great that she's doing that, because your real role is something else.
I think my role is something else. My role is definitely not making makeup. So I get that, but and I bless her for doing hers, because hers is phenomenal and it's taken off like wildfire, and she's experiencing tremendous success.
Mhm. And you can too. Okay,
yeah.
So we'll work on that one. And is there? I'm just gonna see. Is anybody else wanting to say hello? Yeah, I see. It's a different name, but it's. From Sudbury. Is that Emily?
It is Emily from a different phone.
Okay.
In Sudbury.
You're in Sudbury now.
Yes.
Okay, great. Glad that you were able to make it.
Yeah. Thank you, Katrina, for sharing. I took in a lot from that and weaving it with yesterday's call. So as I'm listening to the story for today, the theme of inclusion is the one that I'm connecting with. And at the end, the 13th wise woman said, well, if you don't recognize the magic that created all of this and it's connected to the inclusion of everyone, then that's where the curse comes from. That was the piece that was standing out to me at the end of the story. And this is the mental conundrum. My mind does a lot of acrobats around this one, because we're in this time. I see it as a very big social experiment where we're all connected around the world in ways that we have not been previously. And so there's this massive group. And how do we relate to one another in context of this group around the world?
Yeah.
So I have been given many varied mixed messages about that sometimes are pretty overwhelming for me.
Mm.
And so that sense of that I have a right to belong, and that everyone, like that everyone has a place of inclusion, even the vast differences that I've seen, been exposed to, and had lectures about how you're supposed to be in relation to that. All.
Yes.
It's that diversity of human reality that we have the ability to look at in detail now in ways that previous generations wouldn't have had that kind of contact and interaction with people in other places, other experiences.
Mm.
So, that I'm not... that's the piece that's coming up, and I'm not quite sure how to articulate it as the clearing, but I want to feel more of a connection with I belong, and also that there's something about the belonging of everyone, but I'm not, it was like a rescuer mentality. I was supposed to help and fix those who had less than me, and I can't do that for everybody. And that's a tripping point for me. So if I get a little bit for me, it's not okay, because there's some people that don't have it yet.
Oh, yes, I know that one.
There we go.
Okay, excellent. Thank you, Emily. Those are some wonderful things to bring to the clearing. And I am going to see just a minute. I have Lorna here.
Good morning.
Hi, Lorna.
Hi. Well, something happened yesterday that I just realized that is a result of this, you know, this work we've been doing and some of the work about asking for what you're worth. And I was asked to work with I've been part of a research project for veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder and helping them with EFT, and I've been doing that over the last year. And then I got asked a week or so ago to help this young woman who victim of military sexual trauma and in a lot of pain. And so I said, sure, and I went and spent a couple of hours and taught her the EFT and a couple of other things. And then, you know, I was like, oh, you know, if I can get her in the research project, you know, I can give her 6 free sessions. And it involves driving about 20 minutes, and it's been, you know, like an hour and a half, 2 hours at her place. And so it's kind of takes up my whole afternoon. And but I was in that last week in that mentality of how can I manage to give her 6 free sessions. And then I found that the research project is not taking in any new participants. And I was like, oh my, how do I do this? Do I still give her 6 sessions anyway? Mm. But yesterday when I went and I had sent something in the past that I would do 3 free sessions and then I would have to charge. And so she said to me yesterday, I really want to continue with you. What do you charge?
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, well, you know, I gave her my charge and I have a discount for veterans. She said, well, that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of like,
fair.
Yeah, it's more than fair, actually. But, you know, it was like I had this, oh, poor thing, you've been through this, and I have to, I'm just going to say it. I have to suffer financially because you've been through this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I have this gift to give you. And she was feeling like, wow, this has been a tremendous gift that you've given me so far. And, you know, of course you need to be compensated for what you do. So it's like, of course I need to be compensated. Just sitting with that. So.
Yes.
Yes. And so I wanted to say one other thing, too. So thank you for all that, everybody. And, you know, in the healing codes, the first day of the healing codes is unforgiveness. And one of the things that, you know, people have a lot of trouble with that, and I'm thinking that appropriate this young woman could benefit from this. So in not doing the research, I am able to give her the full expanse of my talents, whereas the research, I would have to just do it one way and do one thing, and I'm thinking she'll much more benefit from what I have to give here. But anyway, the unforgiveness piece, one of the things, the quote that keeps coming up is, holding on to unforgiveness is like taking poison and hoping the other person dies.
I love that one. Oh, God.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. And so being able to, you know, and it's a tough one, but, you know, using the energy techniques really helps that shift.
That's for sure, because we take the charge out of all our anger and the feelings we have, and even the judgments both on ourselves and others. So it's tremendously powerful. And I think, like, I know a lot of people will try to forgive just on the mental level. And, of course, if you're just, even if you have the theory you should forgive and don't have the theory you should be vengeful, there's a level that your forgiveness is not happening at, and that is definitely enabled by the healing to code and other techniques. So, and good for this. I'm really glad about this situation because I think it's probably highlighted again, you know, your need to really see your gifts and why people should pay for it. And I'm just, there's another thing that, you know, I may have mentioned earlier on in the Money Marathon, but I've really been thinking about a lot, is that if you don't allow people to really pay you well for your gifts, then in a sense you're creating an uneven energy exchange, you know, especially if you're always giving away for free and that. So, and they feel that, and in some cases they will just not work with you after a while because you're giving too much. So, because they won't feel comfortable in that situation.
And I even asked myself, why am I willing to give 3 free sessions after I was processing this on the way home? And because I know that there's going to be other veterans that this guy here is going to bring to me.
Mm.
And I'm like, okay. And part of it is, okay, part of it is my, I need to give back. And it's a way of, even though I'm a pacifist, and I told her that yesterday,
yeah.
So many of these young people went in with high ideals, and
yeah.
they have had their ideals smashed to hell. And
yeah.
it's a way of me saying, thank you for your service.
Yes.
And
yeah.
and they're paying me as a way of their saying, thank you for your service.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Thank you for giving me peace.
Yeah,
that's another role of you as a pacifist.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I don't agree with any of that, and unfortunately,
yeah.
you know, I haven't had to be involved in all that. But
I
think that, you know, the people that have been drawn to me as far as the veterans have all had their ideals betrayed by their service experience.
Wow. Yeah. Well, it's wonderful work you're doing, and I'm sure there's... Yeah, lots, because you've done a fair amount, but I think you're just at the cusp of all that you can contribute on that. Right, well, thank you, Lorna. And I just wanted to mention, Dina had written that she is thanking Katrina for being so open and how she also experienced being a neglected adopted child, and it would be good to clear this. So I'm going to start with clearing around the adopted child thing, and then we'll go on to some of the others. So thank you very much, Lorna. And here we go with the clearings. Now, let me just... get into this, and yeah, so we're going to first, and this will kind of clear a couple of people who have situations of being adopted and, you know, the different issues around it. They're particular for each person. So let me see. Even though I find it hard to forgive my parents for what they did, when my adopted parents, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I feel unforgiveness towards my adopted parents, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I still feel deep anger and vengeance towards my adopted parents, I deeply love and accept myself. You didn't treat me right. You bought me like some slave, like some object. You bought me, and you want me to sell out. You want me to sell out to you. You want me to sell out to you. And if I make too much money, you're going to try and get it in some way, and I don't want to give a cent to you. You don't deserve anything. I hate you. I hate what you did to me. I hate those bargains. I hate those bargains that you wanted me. It was like bargains with the devil, bargains with the devil, bargains with the devil. I hate what you did to me. I hate what you did to me. I hate what you did to me. Giving me... giving me shelter, giving me food, but not giving me real love, 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 and always demanding that I do what you say, that I do, and even if it meant undoing myself, and threatening me, threatening to send me back from where I came, sometimes I really wanted just to go back. But then that was terrifying too. Who else would pick me up? Who would choose me? Nobody wants me. Even these horrible people who don't deserve me, don't want me. Nobody wants me. Okay. Even though I feel really neglected and sad, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I feel really neglected and sad sometimes, and my step-parents neglected me, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though my step-parents, or my adopted parents, oh boy, I've been getting these mixed up here. Even though my adopted parents neglected me and didn't take good care of me, I deeply love and accept myself. They didn't take care of me. They neglected me. They made me feel like I wasn't really wanted, that I wasn't really wanted even though I was adopted, even though you'd think that people who adopted a kid would love that kid because they made that choice, even though you'd think that, they neglected me. They neglected me, and they didn't know what to do with me. They couldn't handle me. I don't know why. But I felt neglected all my life, overlooked. I've been overlooked. People haven't seen who I am. They haven't loved who I am. And I am so magnificent. And I've been neglected, abused. The money keeps going. The money keeps going out. And not enough coming in. My love keeps going out, and I keep not getting enough money in. My love keeps going out, and I don't get enough coming in. I need to be able to receive as much as I give. I receive as much as I give. I'm feeling spacey after that one. getting into another space. Just a moment. I'm going to take some water, and that would be great to take some water. Okay, I'm going to do one more thing related to what Katrina said, which is, fuck this, I'm not going to make money, because it may be something that resonates with the rest of us, and let's just work on this one. Even though I want to just say, fuck this with money, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I just want to say, fuck this with money, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I want to say, fuck this with money, I deeply love and accept myself. Fuck this. Fuck money. I don't want to deal with money. I don't want it because people will just try and take it away. They've always taken away things from me. What if I just take the money away and they don't have anything to do with it? What if I separate what has been done in the past with what is now the present? What if I divorce the past? And why don't I just divorce the past and just take it away with the money, take it away, take it away, take it away with the money. Lots of beautiful money, lots of beautiful gold coins, lots of beautiful things for my talents, lots of beautiful money for my talents, money for my talents, money for my talents. Okay, now we're going to go into inclusion. And even though, okay, and what Emily raised about inclusion. Let me see. I don't have the right to belong because there's a lot of other people not belonging, and so I can't possibly belong to a society which excludes. So I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I feel like I can't belong and shouldn't belong and won't belong, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I feel like I can't figure it out, that I can't really figure out all this belonging thing, and I can't make justice in the world, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I feel like I can't create justice in this world, I deeply love and accept myself. It's not fair. It's not fair. There's so many unfair things in this world. There's so many exclusions, exclusions of people, exclusion of me, exclusion of others. I can't stand it. I don't want to be part of a society that excludes, that excludes. So why should I become part of it? Why should I, even if there's a possibility for me to be part of it, why should I? 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 I have to wait till everybody else is included before I can be included. Well, that's interesting logic. That's interesting logic. Wouldn't it be better if we just slowly, one by one, got included and made our society more and more inclusive? In fact, that's kind of what's happening. We're including more and more and more. And if people like me won't be included, that doesn't help the process. So why don't I just be included? Why don't I just be included in this whole thing? Why don't I just let it go? Let it go. Be included. Be included. It won't corrupt me. It won't corrupt me. I won't be corrupted by being included. I'm just part of that whole trend towards more inclusion, more diversity, more inclusion, more diversity, getting away from the old ways of exclusion, getting away from the old ways of exclusion. Okay. And I'm one more thing. Let me see. Yes. And I'll just do a little further thing on being compensated and being given to. Even though I really feel that I shouldn't be compensated sometimes for just doing right, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I feel like I shouldn't be compensated for doing things that just feel right, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I feel like I shouldn't be compensated for giving to people who have been taken from, I deeply love and accept myself. Why don't I just give up this whole thing? That I'm supposed to be the super big giver, make the world different, change the world by the more I give, the more I give, the more I give, the more I get depleted, the more I get depleted, the more I get depleted, we'll give the world more. That's bullshit. That's bullshit. I need to be filled up. I need to create and care for myself. I need to create and care for myself. I need to create and care for myself. And I need to stop treating others as victims. I need to stop treating others as victims and feeling sorry for them. That's disempowering. That's disempowering. And it victimizes me. It victimizes me. It victimizes me. Let's all relate on the basis of empowerment, on empowerment, on empowerment, on empowerment, empower, empower, empower each other. And we'll find ways of making it work financially. It doesn't always have to be the same, but we'll find ways. But they can be empowered to give what money they have to get the healing, which is worth in value, it's worth a million times what they are giving, however much they give. So let me know that. Let me know that. Let me absorb that. Let me totally absorb that in my body, in my body, in my body. All right. So we're going to then head towards the healing codes. And on this issue, I'm going to just take a couple of comments, and people maybe just sum up things so that, and I'm just also going to look at first at the Q&A so that I'm keeping on top of the webcast instead of being last there. Oh, thank you, Dina. And this is an interesting realization that she's sharing with the group. Thanks. I realized that for me, making money felt like I was being disloyal to my adopted parents that couldn't afford me. Making money felt like risking the loss of love. Wow. Yeah. That's quite a realization, and a great one to clear. Great one to clear. So I'm just going to open up on the phone line, and thank you, Dina. And we'll just have quick comments before we go into the healing codes. Yeah, Lorna, I see your. I don't know if you've pressed 7 because I, but I see it open. Is there anything that you wanted to say there?
Yeah, I just, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. It just happened to, my healing codes book was on my desk, and I just flipped open, and the unforgiveness truth focus statements came. And one that comes up a lot when I'm working with people, and I wanted to just offer it, is I am the one who creates who I am. I will forgive and be free of the past.
Wonderful. I am the one who
creates who I am.
Creates who I am, and people can get this down because this may be a perfect one for this. And I, I am the one who creates who I am. And then what's the next one?
I will forgive and be free of the past.
I will forgive and be free of the past. Fantastic. Thank you. Anything else that you wanted to say? Okay, thank you. And I'm just going to, if anybody else wants to say something related and just for the healing codes or just about what happened, please just press *7. And if not, we'll go directly into the healing codes, kind of race through those. At least I feel like I was out of breath from it all. Okay, so I'm not seeing any raised hands there, and it would be good just to go into the healing codes. So wonderful. I pray requests that all known and unknown negative images, unhealthy beliefs, and destructive cellular memories, and all resulting physical issues related to me having a difficulty to forgive, and to all the issues, and here you can put in the issues that you were dealing with, all the issues of exclusion and not being able to make money because of that, and with the people who've been adopted, just put in those issues that have come up around adoption and not being included in around financial well-being, actually, and that all these issues be found, opened, and healed, filling me with the love, life, and light of the Creator. I also ask that the effectiveness of this healing be increased by 100 times or more. And I love that truth focus statement, and so you can either relax deeply and not think of anything and just let all the stuff out, which we've been discussing and clearing, and your particular issues that have been raised, or you can just focus on, I am the one who creates who I am. I will forgive and be free of the past. All right, so take your hands and you can cup them and focus the energy in between the eyebrows. And now, after that frenetic energy of the emotional freedom technique, we can just relax into the healing codes, breathing deeply. knowing that we can release all those things that get in the way of us being able to really receive the money and the gifts that we deserve and that we need in order to do our work, our best work in the world. And just opening up that part of us that's the receiver, knowing that we know how to give. And now that it's our time to learn how to receive fully. And then we go to the throat. And knowing that we can establish who we give to, what we give for, and that it will be in alignment with our values. In alignment with our values. Nobody's going to take it away from us who we feel doesn't deserve it. We're just simply not going to give it to them. Simple as that. We're going to say no, 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 no. So I am the one who creates who I am. I will forgive and be free of the past. I will forgive and be free of the past. Okay, we're taking our hands and cupping them and directing the energy towards the edge of the jaw. I will be so free of the past. I'll be free of the past. Okay. I am the one who creates who I am. I am the one who creates who I am. I am the one who creates who I am. I will forgive. I will forgive and be free of the past. Okay, going to the temples. I'm forgiving. I'm forgiving on the big and the small things. I'm forgiving. I'm living my life in a practice of forgiveness. The practice of forgiveness is a practice of my daily life. I'm becoming more and more accomplished in forgiving and letting go and using the tools that I know can allow me to let go. Then focusing the energy in between the eyebrows. I am the one who creates who I am. I will forgive and be free of the past. Free of the past. Divorce the past. Let it go. Wonderful. I can let go of the past. I can learn from it, but I certainly can let it go. I'm freeing myself of the past. Freedom, 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 freedom. Okay, down to the throat. To be an effective freedom fighter, I am learning to forgive at all levels. An effective, powerful freedom fighter for myself and for others. I am forgiving at all levels. Okay, now going to the sides of the jaws again and pointing the energy of the hands towards the jaws. Streaming the energy, yes. I am the one who creates who I am. I will forgive and be free of the past. Okay, and then we go up to the side of the head and side of the temples. And we're focusing on that area. I am a temple of forgiveness. freeing. Forgiveness is freedom. Freeing. Okay, then putting your hands on top of your head and opening your eyes and looking out and seeing something beautiful in your environment and just giving thanks for the gift of today. And so I am going to unmute everybody just for this last little bit, and we can just say goodbye and we'll bring up things tomorrow, okay? So bye then, and thank you very much for all of you who've been participating so fully.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Katie.
So much. Thank you.
Bye.